We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the award-winning RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast presented by WinBet. It is Friday, September 24th, 2021. Alex Baruti here with Shannon McEwen and Ken K-Train Kreitz.
All aboard!
This is the first official Friday podcast of the 2021-2022 season, which is just a complete mouthful. Although Ken and I did manage to do an in-person pod, Shannon politely declined because he was too busy making money for the company. So we're a little over 3 weeks away from the start of the NBA season. So it's important to be prepared for your fantasy basketball draft with RotoWire's complete draft kit, which is already live and has been live for quite some time. But I will say it's not a static thing. We continue to make updates all the time, injury news, inevitable trades, stuff like that. The main
card changes. Right.
Our changes, everything like that. The main topic for today's show, new faces, new places. A lot of teams had new guys join during the offseason and all that. So we'll touch on that later in the show. But we'll start off with top news and that Ben Simmons still not traded. How long can this drama possibly go on? So at RotoWire, we have him projected for 70 games. But you have to wonder if he hits that number. And, you know, his free throw percentage is another thing affecting his value. Does Daryl Morey have leverage? There's a lot of questions here. Shannon, I want to kick it to you first. Do you have any sort of prediction where you think he'll end up or where you just want him to end up out of selfish entertainment reasons?
Ooh, for selfish reasons, I would be okay with him on the Pistons. he can totally be their starting power forward. You know, trade Jeremy Grant and whoever else.
Killian Hayes, Jeremy Grant.
No, not Killian. No, not Killian. Come on. No, trade Grant and Olynyk. I don't care. Just package a couple players, give them to the Sixers, keep all your young guys.
You have some picks in there, don't you think?
Obviously. But I would love for him to land on the Pistons. I don't think that's realistic. Honestly, I think the most realistic outcome is he plays for Philadelphia. I just think if there were going to be a trade, it would have happened by now. But we've seen trades, you know, late into the you know, after training camp starts, after the preseason starts, you know, looking back at like James Harden, for instance, when he was traded from OKC. So it can happen. I would be surprised. It seems like the Sixers aren't getting any offers that they really like. And I'm not sure which teams are high enough on Ben Simmons to make the kind of offer that the Sixers will accept.
I think he's going to Sacramento. I think it takes a desperate, hasn't been to the playoffs in forever squad to pull this off, desperate for good news. I bet they send Buddy Hield, Bagley, who they want to get rid of, and Tyrese Halliburton, which will really hurt because he'll be awesome with the Sixers. Be a bad move, but I think they do it because they're just so desperate for positive news and a playoff spot.
I've seen I've seen Halliburton in Kings trades and rumors or fan wishes. For the Sixers, I would be extremely surprised if they trade Halliburton for. I don't even know if they would trade Halliburton for Ben Simmons straight up, but maybe I'm an idiot.
I'm not saying it's a good move. I'm just saying the Kings have a long history of bad moves, and they're desperate, and they do seem obsessed to move Bagley. So, that's my prediction.
Yeah, I think I don't really have a prediction on where he'll go. Sorry, it's boring. But I think in an alternate reality, him on the Nuggets would have been fun and made sense with Jokic. You know, if Murray just, like, wasn't as good. Like, there's an alternate reality somewhere where Jamal Murray on the 76ers, Ben Simmons on the Nuggets. I don't think that can happen now unless Michael Porter Jr. gets involved and the Nuggets are, like, scared off of his injury history. But so the 76ers would be. I don't think it's going to happen. It'd be fun because the passing on that team would be some of the best of all time. But
who's going to catch and shoot in that lineup? Details.
Okay, more news. Kyrie Irving and Andrew Wiggins are both not vaccinated and could miss home games because New York and San Francisco are requiring proof of vaccination for large indoor events. Currently, we have Wiggins projected for 80 games, Irving at 54. Part of the Irving reason is just because he's been injury prone his whole career, never plays more than 65 games anyway. And now you add this and personal reasons. It's tough. Ken, you know, I mean, yeah.
If somebody said to you, there's going to be one annoying NBA player who causes all these problems with vaccinations. Who's the first guy that would pop into your head?
Kyrie, of course.
Kyrie Irving, our favorite flat earther. Just so annoying and typical. But yeah, the Wiggins at 80 games, I think it's got to come down because he's not making any. He's still making public comments. He's not getting vaccinated.
Yeah, what do you think, Shannon? Are these guys like do not draft for you unless you're getting a great fucking insane steal on them?
They're pretty much already both in that slot anyways. I've done a lot of best ball drafts past week or so, and Kyrie's right in that 30 range. And you have a bunch of other, like, just looking at guards only, you have De'Aaron Fox, LaMelo Ball, Booker,
Kyle Lowry, Gil, right?
SGA. Yeah, Kyle Lowry's actually going way lower than that. He's
I got him in the slot.
Yeah.
Well, I would not pick Kyle Lowry over Kyrie, but my point is there are a ton of dudes in that 25 to 35 range at the guard position that I would much rather own, even if this weren't an issue. But that said, I firmly believe both of these guys will fall in line and get vaxxed before the season starts. It's their livelihood. They will do it. I almost guarantee you.
Yeah, for what it's worth, Ken, I got Kyle Lowry in the 6th round in the Raz Jam draft that I'm in. Was kind of surprised he fell that far. I understand why he did. I understand how that could end up being a bad pick, given his age, you know, lower
bad
usage.
Pick in the 6th round. You can't make a bad pick in the 6th.
See, that's also the thing, too. It's like there may actually be no bad picks while you're in the 6th round. Final news item for us. ESPN's Tim Bontemps reports, and this has been reported by other people as well, but the NBA has officially spelled out a focus on stopping players from drawing quote-unquote manipulated fouls, a.k.a. I think this will become known as the Trae Young rule.
The James Harden rule. Get real, dude. Get real.
No, all
right. Trae Young does it too, but there's
they both work for me.
I'm as much of a Trae Young fan as anybody. I'm not throwing that I'm not trying to throw him under the bus. It's just that he came along.
I am. This rule.
So per the NBA's Monty McCutcheon, who oversees ref performance, quote, we don't want to disincentivize free throws. We want to disincentivize abnormal moves whose sole purpose is to get free throws. I'll kick it to you, Shannon, since you're very impassioned about this. Would you lower expectations for Harden or Trae this year because of this rule?
Ken, I think you need to put headphones on. I'm getting an echo, just to let you know. I don't discount either of them. I mean, I've seen Harden's still like a top five, top six pick in most drafts. I've seen him drop to 8 or 9, but that's about the lowest, maybe 10 or 11. I'm still comfortable picking Harden top 10, no issues whatsoever. I've taken him at 5. I've taken him at 9. I don't have an issue taking him. For Trae Young, same thing. I mean, I love grabbing Trae Young at the turn. If I'm in a 12 teamer and I've got back-to-back picks at the turn, Trae Young's one of my favorite options to pick there. I don't think this is going to impact them much. I think it's going to result in them getting like 1.8 less free throw attempts per game from the line, and that's going to be about it. And they're going to make up for it by just making more real buckets. It's a league-wide pandemic. It's been going on for years. Every single primary ball handler on every single team draws those types of fouls. Paul George does it every time he tries touching the ball. It's so damn annoying. The game will be better without it. It's not just Trae Young. It's everyone. And Embiid, I don't just, I'm not, I know every, literally like every single person who's the primary ball handler or the person who run the offense runs through does it. So I'm not worried about it. I'm not going to discount players for it.
How annoying is the complaining going to be in the first week or two when they do the pump and then pretend they were intentionally taking a 70 degree angle shot, yeah, and then they don't get the call? Then they're just gonna certain players, including a point guard in Atlanta, are just gonna whine incessantly. I hope the referees like cackle, just laugh.
The best part about it is going to be that James Harden's still going to get calls because he is so good at it that he actually does draw, like, you know, he draws real legit fouls with the way, yeah, he does it. He's so good at it that I don't think it's going to impact him at all. Guys like Trae Young, guys who jump in front of a player on defense and stop, or guys like Paul George. Oh, my God. I just keep on thinking back to those Western Conference playoffs, and it was so horrible to watch. I'm not worried about it.
The move where they dribble to the – they dribble and have a defender on their back.
Yes.
Young did this a lot. And they just stop. So the guy runs them over. Is that going to fall into this?
That does fall into it. And there, that will be an offensive foul. Like, you're not allowed to do
offensive.
It. Yes.
Okay.
I'm surprised. I actually thought that would stay because
I'm fairly certain when they first announced this a month or two ago, I watched the full breakdown of it. And let's just say I'm 91% sure that that's a foul now or no longer called.
McCutchen did say, we're not rewriting any rules. We're changing the interpretation. So I'm sure it's written somewhere, but I don't think an actual change to the official rule book is occurring, which opens the door for a lot of interpretation. Yeah.
There's good video breakdowns available where they show all the different changes that they're making. So I highly recommend watching those.
Okay, we have a word.
Before that, we have like the biggest news announcement. I was just amazed that it wasn't in the list. Who do you know who the Wizards starting center is? It was announced yesterday.
Oh yeah, I do.
This is just gigantic.
I missed this.
Daniel Gafford.
That's big RotoWire news. I'm surprised there wasn't an in-office party.
I'm the biggest Gafford fan of someone who's not related to him.
Yeah, just the fact that, you know, they brought Montrez in. You got Thomas Bryant recovering from injury. So there was some question mark about what the Wizards were going to do at the five. And the fact that they're coming out now and saying that Gafford's the starter is a huge boost in his fantasy value. And you can get him. I've seen him go like between 120 and 160, usually somewhere right in that middle ground, you know, 130 to 140 is closer. I've started reaching on him in drafts as soon as I saw that news hit, because I think he's gonna be a walking double double if he's playing 30 minutes a game.
Did they announce that with the Bryant injury update, saying I think Bryant they're hoping for in December, right? Or was that a separate announcement, Shannon?
Yes. No, I think they were announced separately originally. Because Bryant hasn't been expected to return at the beginning of the season, for a while now. But yeah. I think Gafford, you know, even if Thomas Bryant comes back and is at full strength December 1st or whenever it is, I think Gafford's going to put together a strong enough string where he'll hold on to the job even after Bryant's return. Bryant hasn't done enough to reclaim it without, you know.
Well, we know with Harrell's defense, he's better coming off the bench, frankly.
Yes.
Before we move on to fan feedback, we have a word from our leading sponsor, WinBet. If there's one thing that we appreciate here at RotoWire, it's making good decisions. And even more so, making the right decision. Listen up, folks. I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WinBet, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WinBet is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's fantasy podcast. WinBet brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more at your fingertips. Do you want a break from sports betting? Head into WinBet's digital casino and take a spin on roulette, double down on blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand at Baccarat. WinBet is currently available in six states, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, while rapidly expanding. At WinBet, the possibilities are limitless. WinBet is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WinBet now. That's WYNNBET. WinBet, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's fantasy podcast. Ken, we have fan feedback, except not really.
Well, this is our announcement to say, fans, please leave us questions in the comment section of this episode on YouTube, and we will answer those questions in the fan feedback section in next episode. So please go to the RotoWire channel on YouTube, like this video, and leave a question for us. My apologies for not starting with the microphone.
Try RotoWire free. Go to rotowire.com/try.
Okay, we have some new faces and new places to get to. During the offseason, there were plenty of moves. If you want a full recap, there was a free agency tracker posted on the RotoWire website as an article that Nick and I wrote. So if you want a quick refresher, all of those are on there. I'm sure a quick Google will get you that. Otherwise, the article search option on the website. But we're going to be discussing players who are in better situations, players who are in worse situations, and maybe an honorable mention here or there. I'm going to kick things off very quickly. I think Devontae Graham is in a better situation in New Orleans compared to his time in Charlotte last season. Listen, I only have extremely high hopes for Devontae Graham, but they gave up a first-round pick for him and then paid him. And he's clearly the starting point guard on that team, replacing Lonzo Ball. I don't have like a ton of faith in Nickeil Alexander-Walker. I think he's good. I'm probably lower on him than a lot of other people. You know, they have Sadoransky, but he can play the wing. I think Graham might be locked into like 30 to he could play 35 minutes a game, and he's a great passer. He's a great 3-point shooter.
And no more Terry Rozier to deal with.
Yeah, or LaMelo Ball. I mean, they just had too many mouths to feed in the backcourt last season, even though I thought Devontae Graham kind of in a six-man role was actually not bad for him. But I think he's definitely set for a bounce-back year, and I'm sure you can still get him relatively discounted in drafts.
Shannon, you look like you're going to say something.
I like Devontae Graham as a player. My worry is just, you know, it's Alexander Walker, Kira Lewis, who, you know, the Pelicans seemed pretty high on before last year. You know, Ingram does handle the ball a lot. Sadoransky is one of those guys who coaches seem to love and always give minutes to. So I'm not 100% sold on Graham, like being a lock to start. I do think Alexander Walker is probably going to start at the two, which will certainly help open up minutes at the one for Graham. I like Graham's current price tag on draft day, though. You know, he's in that 90 for best ball leagues. He's in that 90-ish range, 85 to 95 range. And I think that's a very good spot to draft a guy who, you know, he's got upside where he can hit 2 to 3 three-pointers per game, average like 16, 17 points, and get you 8, 9 assists as well if he's playing enough minutes. So I like it. I like it.
My fear is he gets monster minutes and shoots 37% from the field all season with higher volume because they need his scoring. So the opportunity is definitely there. The minutes are there, but the percentage could be a gut punch.
Yep.
Yeah, Ken, who is someone that is in a better situation that you like this season?
This is just a late round pick I love because he's coming off injury, but Spencer Dinwiddie in Washington should have a gazillion minutes at the point. He's still only 28, should be in full, fully healthy because his knee injury occurred last December. There's a massive hole left behind in that lineup with Russell Westbrook going to the Lakers. So I just see lots of shots and dimes ready for Dinwiddie. Similar to the spot he had back in his old Brooklyn Nets days. You know, we're only 2019-20, only a year removed from when he put up 20.6 points, 6.8 assists, 1.9 threes per game. He'll cost you almost nothing. He could play 31 minutes a game. I love the opportunity for Spencer Dinwiddie in Washington.
Agreed.
Yeah, I think.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's. I'm not too worried about him sharing the ball with Bradley Beal. Really, I mean, I think both of them will have opportunities to play with the bench unit, and put up plenty of numbers. Because, yeah, I mean, Kyle Kuzma's going to launch up shots, but other than that, I don't think anybody else on this team is even really a threat to score more than 15 points a game. I mean, I guess Thomas Bryant when he comes back, Hachimura's got a shot, but Dinwiddie's like the clear number two option on that team. Yeah, Shannon, absolutely. Kicking it to you.
I'm a big fan of Kemba Walker playing for the Knicks. I think the Celtics made a transition. You know, it helped because they were kind of forced into it. One, because Kemba was hurt. And also, you know, Brown and Tatum are just really talented guys, but it became their team. They didn't need Kemba anymore. And we saw that last year. You know, Kemba was still pretty productive when he played. He only played 43 games, but he averaged 19, 4, and 5. Gets one steal per game, hits three-pointers. I just think he's going to be, one, he's healthier this year. He's still, you know, he's not over the hill. It's going to be his age 31 season. And I think we could see a good year, a nice bounce-back year to be a little bit closer to what his prime years in Charlotte. You know, he plays big in the Garden. Or at least that's the story that you're always told. So I'm buying in on it. I think he's going to have a bounce back year. He currently drafted in a similar range to guys like Dinwiddie and Graham, actually. And I think he's an absolute steal there. You know, 21 and 5 in the bank. And if he stays healthy and plays 80 games, he's going to be a steal.
Plus probably 3 threes a game. It's just all about his health, right? You touched on it. Are they going to rest him in back-to-backs like the Celtics had to last year? We'll find out. There's certainly a giant hole in last year's Knicks lineup at point guard, and they'd love to give 90% of those minutes to Walker if they can.
Yep.
He's a great guy. Great story about him going home to play, so I hope it works out. Lots of upside.
I'm going to discuss a player in a worse situation. Yes,
let's get negative. That's what we're better at.
Russell Westbrook in LA, and I think this potentially, I mean, this could easily affect LeBron and AD, but you know, Westbrook goes from pretty much a clear number two option in his past few stops, or even a number one option at times, to a borderline second/third option here in LA. The Lakers have a ton of guard depth. They shouldn't feel a need to play Russell Westbrook more than 35 minutes a game. It's hard for me to kind of discern exactly what the Lakers offense is going to look like. Who's losing touches in what situations? Is Westbrook finally going to give up stealing everyone's rebounds, or is he actually going to end up stealing Anthony Davis's rebounds? Anthony Davis is just going to put up the same stats as Jaren Jackson Jr. So it's kind of hard for me to figure out, but I would not draft. I wouldn't draft Russell Westbrook in the second round. I might wait till like round four. Yeah, it's tough to say. Three, borderline. Yeah.
I like this idea of Lakers assume they start the season healthy. So all big three are playing and they're figuring out the stats. And whoever drafts Westbrook's disappointed because he's, you know, he's having to defer. And then you buy low on him with the assumption James or AD are going to get hurt and miss a chunk of games. That's kind of my Westbrook strategy this year.
It's going to be tough to manage. I still like Westbrook in points-based leagues. I think he's going to be good there. You know, he's still going to probably come damn close to averaging a triple-double. It's just instead of it being 28 points per game, it's going to be like 19, 20. He's going to be like 20, 10, and 10.
Yeah. And maybe he returns to the 47, 48% he was shooting with Houston when he was deferring to Harden versus the 42% when he was chucking for the Wiz.
Well, and I could see him deploying Westbrook in a similar way to what the Rockets did, where essentially he was kind of like the center. You know, he was like the point center, and they went small ball. I could see him doing that because it proved to be effective. I don't know. It's going to be tough. I'm worried slightly about the drop in production from all of those Lakers stars. But at the same time, you know, I look back at the Heat or, you know, other teams that had a big three or big four like that. And yeah, essentially they just take turns, right? So, you know, LeBron will have a quarter, Westbrook will have a quarter. They may break it into even a quarter of the season is Bron, and then he gets a few nights off, and it's Westbrook's turn for the next few weeks. So
it's gonna be a DFS feast or famine, right, Shannon? I look forward to all your DFS advice this year on which Laker to play tonight.
It'll be an interesting thing to monitor.
You know, while we're on the Lakers, I'm really impressed how they suddenly went from no depth last year to seem to be a loaded bench. Like the whole, I don't know how they got Kendrick Nunn on the cheap, but I loved that move. And then obviously all these veteran ring chasers, but my goodness, Monk off the bench, Horton Tucker, Carmelo, you know, the five's a little dicey, but they're pretty loaded, on the bench, oddly enough.
It's insane. There's like a lot of guys who, you know, when they first joined the Lakers or like, you know, even Horton Tucker, you mentioned, it's like, ooh, I wonder if he's going to break out this year, get a bigger role. But then they bring in Ellington and Monk and Nunn and Bazemore. And I'm just like, oh, no, Horton Tucker's not going to play at all. I don't even know if Nunn's going to play much because you have Rondo and Westbrook. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to crack that rotation and actually get meaningful minutes. But we'll see.
Ken, who is in a worse situation?
Not crazy about DeMar DeRozan in Chicago. The Spurs were so utterly dependent on him for all their offense last year with LaVine and Vucevic. I just don't see that working nearly as well, especially since he can't catch and shoot as well. So I'm not sure how that offense works with three guys that all need the ball in their hand. But also, DeRozan did a great job learning how to increase his assists and set up other guys. But I just don't know how that offense is going to work in Chicago. And I feel like DeRozan's going to have to defer the most. They're going to be sure drawing up a lot of plays for LaVine, trying to encourage him to stay. So, and, you know, nothing was going to be as strong as the dream scenario DeRozan had fantasy-wise in San Antonio last year.
Yeah, I agree. DeRozan was my go-to response to this question. Of all those guys on the Bulls roster, you know, he's the one that I think sees the biggest downgrade in fantasy value this season. You know, LaVine's still going in like the 30-ish range. I think he still warrants a spot there. Vucevic, I love him as a player, but he's being drafted as if he's still on a Magic team that has no other person to touch the ball. It's insane. I saw him get picked like 13th or 14th last night in one of my drafts, and I can't do it. There's no way. I don't think I'm going to end up with him anywhere. I would not pick him in the top 20. He's just not going to be – he's not going to have the responsibility or the usage that he had in Orlando. So, yeah, but DeRozan, he's the one. He's the one that's going to dip the most. You know, he's not going to be 22, 5, and 7 this year. He's going to be like 17-4-4. Like it's going to be decent. Like he's still going to have plenty of value, but yeah, I can't.
I'll say this about Vucevic though. I like win bet player prop bets for his rebound total because he's going to have to rebound more to get the ball. They don't have Thad Young there, a legitimate four. So Vucevic is going to have to own the glass for them. But total fantasy-wise, I agree with you, Shannon's going to take it.
Yeah, the one thing that you can get behind with DeRozan is the fact that, like, DeRozan or Patrick Williams are going to probably play most of the minutes at the four. Like, this team in the front court is not deep. Like, yes, they've got Ball, they've got Levine, Kobe White once he returns, Alex Caruso, you've got guards who are going to factor, you know, be in the rotation. But, you know, outside of their top five or six, they really don't have that good of depth anymore. And what was a logjam for a couple of years there in the front court, you know, Markkanen's gone.
No Markkanen.
Yeah. Wendell Carter's gone. They even Gafford, who we mentioned earlier, they don't have that depth in the front court anymore. So it's possible that, I guess it's possible Vooch keeps top 20 value by playing 40 minutes a game. That's certainly certainly doable, given their Tony Bradley and whoever the hell else they have on their depth.
He will end the season top four rebounds per game. I wouldn't want to rely on his points for my fantasy squad.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I'm worried that basically he loses a ton of his post touches and that he's just not operating you know, as much from there, from the high post, and then he'll kind of turn into just a pick and roll guy and a pick and pop guy, which is good. You can feed the post to him when you have to, but.
All right, Alex, you're a nice guy, Alex. Let's make you go negative.
Well, I already did mine. I did Westbrook.
Yeah.
I'll jump in.
Aaron's time.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's UNIFYDHealing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Yeah. My worst situation, and some rankings agree with this, others think I'm a buffoon. Kelly, the clinic Olynyk, is in a much worse situation than the one he ended in last year. When he went to the Rockets, he absolutely exploded. He was a fantasy monster. There was no Christian Wood for like 90% of those games. No other front court depth to worry about. Olynyk was just dominating. That's not going to happen with the Pistons. I know most folks will probably look at the Pistons and say, well, this is a garbage team too. They don't have good front court players. Olynyk's going to just slide in there and dominate from day one. I don't buy it. I do not expect Olynyk to start for the Pistons. I think Isaiah Stewart, Beef Stew, will be the starting center for the Pistons, and that Olynyk will just be a solid backup. He'll get minutes, but you know, if you look at a couple of the two best ball sites I play on, one of it has Olynyk ranked like 70th overall, and the other has him ranked like 160th. And that's what you're looking at right now. It's one of the two. If he's starting and playing 35 minutes, he's still not going to do what he did with the Rockets. Like,
that was a dream situation in Houston. Even, you know, the classic example of somebody has to score and you get the legit NBA player on a god-awful team, and you know, he has to light it up. But that's just Did I just call the Pistons a legit NBA team? Alex, edit this out in post-production or something.
Even if that's the point though, Ken, even if Olynyk ends up playing 35 minutes game, which again, Beef Stew is the man, it's not going to happen. But if that were to happen, he's not going to do what he did with the Rockets.
No.
He's not going to be the second scoring option on the Pistons. He'll be the fourth at best. So I'm not buying it.
Where's Cade in your scoring option rankings?
Oh, Cade's default number one option for the Pistons from day one.
Over Grant, no day yes. one, opening night.
Day one. That's why, my preference is they trade Grant before opening night.
Oh, I know.
Because, I promise you, the coaching staff, as soon as Grant goes out there and chucks up 25 shots and thinks that it's 2020 and not 2021, they're going to sit his ass down and tell him, like, Cade's the man. I promise
you. He did defer some in Vegas. Cunningham did defer some in Vegas. You have to admit.
That's because he's trying to hype up his other young fellas. He wants to get Hayes some confidence, you know, get Sadiq Bey and Beef Stew some hype. That's all that is. But when Grant tries stepping on his junk, nah, Cade's gonna smack him with it.
Oh, the junk step.
I think you're right, Shannon. I there will still be people who draft him earlier than he should because it's a flyer, and on the off chance Stewart gets hurt. I mean, Olynyk, they have no depth in the front court. So I mean, no. It's Trey Lyles.
Well,
it's, you know.
Well, I mean, they do have the true Luka on their depth chart now as well.
The Luka. I'm surprised he only ended up on a two-way deal. It's kind of surprising, given
Are you guys going to explain this for our non-Detroit Piston fans?
Yeah, future Hall of Famer Luka Garza. A depth center on the Pistons, probably going to set the NBA record for most three-pointers by a center. He wants to be the first center to shoot over 50% from downtown in a season. He's going to be a monster. He was the best player in college last year.
Might be the most decorated college player of all time.
Isn't he 48? What is he? Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. We have some honorable mentions. I'm going to kick things off with Larry Nance, RotoWire favorite, to Portland. Finally, he gets out of a situation in Cleveland where they were not winning basketball games and gets to a situation where he'll at least be in the playoffs. And Portland's
part of the reason. Raised in Cleveland, by the way, was kind of a nice story.
It was a nice story, but it felt a lot like it was it was basically Stockholm syndrome. People were just like kind of afraid to mention that to him. Nance has only played in 20 playoff games, and that was all in one season with Cleveland in 2018. Basically, listen, I like him a lot. He's a three-position player. He's a 3-and-D guy. He can pass. He can rebound.
Portland needs defense.
Portland needs anything. Like, part of the reason I like this is because they have, like, zero bench depth. It's awful. You look at Portland's depth chart, and they're number one guys off the bench at each position: Anfernee Simons, Ben McLemore, Tony Snell, Larry Nance, and Cody Zeller. That is horrible. So I think there's a chance that Nance ends up playing like 29 minutes a game off the bench, multi-position guy. Because even Cody Zeller as a backup five, he's never healthy. And Nurkic's health is a question too. So I think if you can get Nance, you know, you probably don't have to draft him inside the top 100. You get him at like 100, 110-ish, I think that's completely fine.
Do you like want to expand, Shannon, on your Gafford honorable mention, the Wiz?
You know, no, Gafford, yeah, because he was already on the Wizards at the end of last season. So I'm going to go a different direction. And I'm going to talk about my boy Jonas Valanciunas. Ooh. I love him on the Pelicans. You know, this is a guy who I've been hyping up for the better part of a decade now. And I think this is the year where he was very good last year. I mean, 17-12, almost one block per game. I think we're going to see him finally uncapped, play over 30 minutes per game. You know, he doesn't have Jackson or Brandon Clark or Xavier Henry or Tillman or whoever that guy is. He doesn't have a bunch of big men nipping on his heels like he did the entire time in Memphis. Now, he can be the man. There's no one else. I'm not worried about Jackson Hayes or any of these guys stealing minutes from him. I think we're going to finally see Valanciunas, who plays over 30 minutes a game. And all you got to do is look at his per 36 numbers to know that if he plays 30 minutes, the dude's going to be like 20-13, like easy.
So you don't see any issues with him and Zion inside?
He's a much better fit next to Zion than Steven Adams was. I know that much.
Agreed.
You know, it's on the offensive end, at least. You know,
I think that's true for every team in the NBA. If you replace Adams with someone,
that's agreed. But Valanciunas can hit. He can legit hit 3-pointers. It's an area of his game that he's worked on and improved on the past couple of years. I think we may see him take more threes this season than he has in the past. I think it's worth it. I think it's going to be fine with Zion. I'm not that worried about it. They will go small at times, but I also don't think their depth's as good. You know, the Pelicans' depth took a little bit of a beating now, you know, compared to the past couple of years. So I think he's going to be locked into to career high numbers.
All right, I'll go real quick with my honorable mention. I like Kyle Lowry in Miami. A lot of shots left behind by Goran Dragic. That team needed Dragic's points many times during the season and postseason. Plus, Kendrick Nunn's not there. Lowry's not going to put up the numbers he did 2-3 years ago at Toronto, but he's so cheap and he's going to be their starting point guard. There is a point guard premium. I'm happy to have Lowry as my second point guard in fantasy.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like I said, I got him in the sixth round and felt great about that. So you might be able to get him a little earlier and again, not feel bad.
The price is cheap.
He's a great passer. He's going to shoot a lot of threes. That goes very far.
Shannon's just laughing at me for having him in our keeper league.
No, I think it's fine. I picked Lowry in one of my teams last night, and I actually, it was a theme. I called it the Uncle Ken team while I was doing it, because I had like
40 years and older.
There were a lot of guys who were closer to 40 than 30. You know, I had like LeBron and Lowry and even guys like Kemba Walker. I was like, man, this is a team that Ken
Chris Bosh
would build. Jimmy Buckets, you know, I had all those guys. Yeah. You know.
All right, Ken, it is time for your first old man rant of the season.
You know what I hate? Starting the NBA season in the heart of fantasy football season. What happened, NBA? For the past two pandemic seasons, you talked about moving the start of the season back to December. Well, we all know 82 games is way too many. Resting stars for back-to-backs is still going to be a problem. I don't want to pay good money to see LeBron or Kemba in street clothes. On October 19th, an October 19th start is way too early. Please, NBA, wait until all my fantasy football teams have been eliminated.
I also don't want to pay money to see Kemba Walker.
Oh, man. Okay. I don't think we mispronounced any names. Surprising. Although we kind of stuck to, you know, we stuck to some pretty standard.
Oh, yeah. Like, I purposely avoided the end of the Bulls depth chart for a reason.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on the first Friday Fantasy Basketball podcast of the season. It was presented by WinBet. Ken, take us out of here.
Let's revisit TNT star and Hall of Famer Charles Barkley, who famously said, "You got to believe in yourself. Hell, I believe I'm the best looking guy in the world, and I might be right." Attention passengers, this three-car fantasy train wreck has hit the end of the line.
Try RotoWire today, free for 10 days. Get our premium tools, rankings, analysis, and breaking news alerts. No credit card required. Go to rotowire.com/try.